Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled A Cosmic Manifestation. This is chapter 3. Yes? I think I have the wrong verse here. Let's see. I have chapter 2. Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, A Change in Heart. And today's text is text number 1. Sri Shuka Vacha Eva Meta Nigaritam Prishtavan Yad Bhavan Mama Runangyan Riyamananam Onusheshu Manishinam Sri Shuka Uvacha Eva Metan Nigaditam Prishtavan Yad Bhavan Mama Renangyan Riyamananam Manusheshu Manishinam. Yeah, you have to go up by a line. You're missing a line on the bottom there. Yeah, there you go. Sri Shuka Uvacha Eva Meta Nigaditam Prishtavan Yad Bhavan Mama Nrinang Yan Mriyamananam Manusheshu Manishinam. Please chant. Sri Shuka Uvacha Eva Meta Nigarita Prishtavan Yad Bhavan Mama Nam Yan Riyamananam Anusheshu Manishinam Shishuko Vacha Eva Meta Nigarita Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Rinang Nyan Riyamananam Anusheshu Manishinam Shishuko Vasa Eva Meta Nigaritam Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Anusheshu Manishina Shishuko Vacha Eva Meta Nigarita Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Rinam Yan Vriyamanana Manusheshu Manishina Sri Shuka Vacha Eva Meta Nigaritam Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Rinang Yan Riyamananam Manusheshu Manishinam. Vaishnavis, Sri Shuka Vacha Eva Meta Nigaritam Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Rinamyan Riyamananam Manusheshu Manishinam. Any other ladies? Okay, synonyms. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sri Shukadev Goswami said Evam. So Etat, all these, Nigaritam, answered. Prishtavan, as you inquired. Yet, what? Bhavan, your good self. Mama, unto me. Nrinam, of the human being. Yet, one. Mriyamananam, on the threshold of death. Anusheshu, amongst the human beings. Manishinam, of the intelligent men. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. Please repeat. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In human society all over the world, there are millions and billions of men and women, and almost all of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of spirit soul. Almost all of them have a wrong conception of life, for they identify themselves with the gross and subtle material bodies, which they are not, in fact. They may be situated in different high and low positions in the estimation of human society, but one should know definitely that unless one inquires about his own self beyond the body and the mind, all his activities in human life are total failures. Therefore, out of thousands and thousands of men, one may inquire about his spirit self and thus consult the revealed scriptures like Vedanta Sutras, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. But in spite of reading and hearing such scriptures, unless one is in touch with a realized spiritual master, he cannot actually realize the real nature of self, and so on. And out of thousands and hundreds of thousands of men, someone may know what Lord Krishna is in fact. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 122 and 123, it is said that Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, prepared the Vedic literatures in the incarnation of Vyasadeva for reading by the intelligent class of men in a human society which is almost totally forgetful of the genuine relation with Krishna. Even such an intelligent class of men may be forgetful in their relation with the Lord. The whole bhakti yoga process is therefore a revival of the lost relation. This revival is possible in the human form of life, which is obtained only out of the evolutionary cycle of 8,400,000 species of life. The intelligent class of human being must take a serious note of this opportunity. Not all human beings are intelligent, so the importance of human life is not always understood. Therefore, manishinam, meaning thoughtful, is particularly used here. A manishinam person like Maharaj Parikshit must therefore take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service, hearing, chanting, and so on, of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord, which are all harikathamrita. This action is especially recommended when one is preparing for death. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tilamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunivari Pashatadeshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishang Snapitang Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tandatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatam Sam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa taru vyasya kripa sindhu vyayavacha patita anang pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in his purport, Prabhupada starts by being directly insulting to almost everybody on this planet. Says, there are millions of men and women and almost all of them are less intelligent. No, he didn't just say women. Almost all of the men and women on this planet are less intelligent. Why? Because they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And in that ignorance, they're willing to even die for the wrong cause or things that are not so important. The important thing, self-realization, they put that aside. That's why they're less intelligent. The most important thing that we're supposed to accomplish with this human form of life, to become self-realized, to qualify to go back to Godhead, that they put aside. But they will fight over trifles. And in the current mood, it may seem that it's black against white, but that's just another smokescreen thrown by Maya. Because if you look at the history of this planet, some of the fiercest battles that occurred happened within the same family. Because two brothers were in line to become king and one wanted to be in, so he will kill his own brother. Looks exactly alike, have the same parents. But because my ambitions should supersede your ambitions, I kill you. So this killing business is not prompted by differences of race or sex, or it's prompted by the deep-rooted desire of the conditioned soul to be in control. We all have this strong controlling nature that comes to the forefront when society is chaotic. When society is well organized and you have good leaders, then the ordinary person can suppress this Ishwara Bhava, this desire to be in control, because things are running smoothly. The king takes charge. The brahmanas are intelligent. They disseminate proper knowledge. The vaishyas produce enough grains and they protect the cows. And the sudras work happily for the higher classes. And everybody is more or less happy, and so they suppress that. But when there's chaos, everybody wants to tell everybody else how to think, what to do, where to go. And then everybody else gets upset. Who are you to tell me what to think, where to go, what to do? And they feel justified because they see, you're telling me what to do, but you're doing the same thing that you're telling me not to do. This is authoritarian leadership. And we find that even within families. It used to be the style of parenting many years ago. Do what I say, not what I do. In other words, I go out to the bar at night and drink, but you don't do that. You stay home and study your books. So eventually the kids wise up and say, what is this? If fun is in the bar, why should I stay home? And let me just look forward to when I can run away and go to the bar. You see? You can't have that kind of leadership or parenting where you're telling the dependents to do something that you don't do. Go to church on Sunday and you stay home and watch a football game. You see? Or you're telling them not to do something that you do. Don't smoke. But they go out and smoke all the time. That style of leadership, that style of parenting does not work. And it leads to the kind of chaos that we have nowadays. Leaders who are telling the citizens to be honest, but they are the most dishonest themselves. You see? Leaders who tell the citizens to pay their taxes and they don't want anybody to examine their taxes. You can't have that kind of leadership. People are not that stupid. They may be designated here as being less intelligent. Not materially. We're talking about the fact that they don't take the advantage of the human form of life to make spiritual advancement, which is what it's meant for. And that has to be inculcated into the children. Komara acharya pragyo dharman bhagavatamiha durlabham manasa janma tarapyajuvam artadam. That this human life is as fragile just as any other human form of any other form of life. It's mentioned here in the purport, 8,400,000 species of life within this material world. And every one of them is fragile. Every one of them. We see the oceans used to be full of so many gigantic whales, and practically they were all slaughtered. Now they're making a comeback. Because human beings decided, for their economic advancement, it was advantageous to kill the whales and take their oil and take their flesh and take their bones. And so practically they all got killed. So no matter what size your body is, how gigantic, you're fragile. You're just this far from death. And death will come eventually for everybody. So this has to be inculcated into the children, starting from 5 years old, Prahlad Maharaj says. And he used to preach to his childhood classmates, don't just play during the recess time. Let us sit down and study Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna. You know, people, when you do that, people think, ah, let them be kids, let them grow up. Yeah, but you see what they grow into if you don't take charge while you can. While you have the opportunity to take charge and direct them, you have to take advantage of that. Because as they get older and older, it becomes more difficult. It becomes more difficult. So Prabhupada wanted his society to establish an educational system in which the children of the devotees were taught, yes, we want to inculcate this Bhagavad Dharma into their brains. Everybody should have it, but at least those you have control of, you put it into their brains. So they have a fighting chance, as we say in English, to grow up and become self-realized. Otherwise, they just fall right into the same bodily concept of life. I'm a white male, I'm a black female, I'm an Asian, this, you're not any of those things. But that becomes their guiding principle in life. I'm Asian, therefore I have to think the way Asians do. I'm American, therefore I have to think like an American. Although there's no such thing as, you know. They have to be taught the Ishavasya principle, that everything belongs to God. Otherwise, you see, what happened? The Europeans came to America and they kicked out the Indians who had been here for thousands and thousands of years. But it didn't belong to the Indians either. See, that's the whole point. When you don't see that God is the owner, then it becomes might makes right. I come to your country, gradually I take it over, kick you out. Maybe if you look at the history of America, they fought the Indians. First of all, they wiped out a lot of them just by bringing their European diseases. And then the ones that remain, they gradually took more and more of their lands, and when they fought back, killed them. And a few, after they surrendered, put them on a reservation. And then 10 years later, you come back and say, I'm sorry, we found that there's gold in this reservation, so now you have to go somewhere else. You see? This is the foundation of the country that we're proud of. So we say, no, don't become proud of any country in this world. It's all based on killing and stealing, and that's what it all comes down to, everywhere in the world. And it's still going on. It's not that it took place, you know, 300 years ago, now leave us alone, we're, you know. No, it's still going on. It's still going on. So this human form of life means an opportunity to hear about, glorify, remember Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami already said that in the very beginning of the second chapter, second canto, first chapter of the second canto. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari. Shrotavya, Kirtitavyasya, Smartavya, Chaitita Abhayam. If you want to be fearless, and people don't want to be afraid, we see that's why they're fighting out there. I want to be able to walk down the street and not be afraid based on my race or sex or whatever. And yes, you have that right if there's good government. If there's good government. I was speaking to Ramaranger. He came because, you know, his daughter passed away. He's living in Florida now, but he came back. So I was discussing with him that chapter from the Krishna book where it states that if the child dies before the parent, it's the government's responsibility. That means that the government is not good. If a child dies before his parent or her parent, that means the government is not good. So there was this brahmana who was every year he would have a child and the child would die. So he just got fed up. He said, this king is a bad king. Ugrasena was the king. This king is his fault. How can a son die in the presence of the father? So he was making propaganda against the king. So Arjuna heard and he came in and said, look, I will protect your next child. You go ahead, you have another child, and when that child is born, I will be there at the maternity room, and I will protect that child. And if I can't protect the child, I will commit suicide. So he armed himself, he waited, and time came, the child was born, boom, the child died. So Arjuna was ready to commit suicide, keep his word, as part of the government. He was willing to burn himself to death. And Krishna came and said, no, 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 it's all my arrangement. Took him to see Mahavishnu, and then brought all the children back to the brahmana. So it's bad government if the child dies in the presence of the father or mother. Natural progression is parents die and the children get old and they have children and like that. That's the natural progression. But beyond that, the real natural order that we're looking for is eternal life. And that's why death, in whatever form it comes in, we are shocked. Why should you be shocked? Everybody knows. You take birth, you have a birth date, there's going to be a death day also. But still we're shocked. No matter what age a person dies at, practically. The oldest person in my immediate family right now, my mother's brother, older brother, by 2 years, she died at 87. So he's 90 or going on 91. And still, when he dies, everybody will be shocked. Oh, Uncle Stanley has died. Whoa, why? What happened? No, this death is natural in the material world, but it's unnatural to us because we are spiritual beings. We're not part of this material world. And so all of this knowledge has to be put into people's brains starting when they're young. Come to Bhagavatam class every day. Even if he's coloring or whatever, he's hearing the philosophy that's going in there. Just like Prahlad was in the womb. He didn't have a book in there. You know? But he was hearing every day Narad Muni discussing spiritual philosophy. And it made an impression. So that impression will be there. And sometimes we see, even they may leave, they grow up in Krishna consciousness, whatever, they succumb to some desires and they may leave. But that teaching is still in there. It's in there. And one day Krishna will wake them up. Something will happen. So many stories are there amongst devotee children, how they left and then something happened and they just snapped out of it and came back to Krishna consciousness. So this is our responsibility, is to inculcate this knowledge. But first of all, we have to imbibe it ourselves. We have to imbibe it and live it. Because again, you can't fool the children. They are very observant. If they see that the parents, they're reading Bhagavad Gita every day, but their real joy in life is waiting till 11 o'clock to watch something on TV or something, you know, or to go to some movie or something. You can't fool them. They say, this is where you're getting your juice. So I'm going to also look for my juice somewhere else. So the parents really have to get the juice. And not just the parents. The whole community has to live on that platform. We are supposed to be Hare Krishna people. So then we have to live like that. And we have to go out in the community like that. You know, we were all under lockdown here. So a couple of times I get a little, you know, I just want to go out and breathe some air. So I take my camera and go down by the ocean. But I always wear my tilak. You know, I know a spot where a lot of people gather to take pictures of birds and whatnot. So I went there. And people come up, good morning, who are you? And they talk to you. They see you like this and they want to know more. Especially in this time when everybody's feeling pressured and doubtful and full of questions. They want to talk to somebody. I went to the day after the big riots here where they burned on Melrose, I went to a park in Beverly Hills. Same thing, take some pictures, just check my job and get some air. And there was a middle-aged guy sitting on a bench, and he was very friendly. He struck up a conversation. He was telling me how, you know, he should live a more spiritual life. And, you know, his older guy, I'd say he's about 60. But he said, but I have a girlfriend, and her family's in a big meat-producing family. They have, like, 20,000 acres of land, and they grow cattle for killing them. And I said, I can't stand it, but what can I do? I can't change their minds. So like that, just going out just like a devotee, you give people a chance to talk to you, and it gives you a chance to inculcate some Krishna consciousness. So I spoke to him at length, and he promised that as soon as we open again, Govinda's, he's going to bring her here, try to change her diet. So this is our responsibility, to hear from the realized soul, and this is our great fortune, that we're hearing spiritual knowledge that is perfect. Prabhupada is giving us perfect spiritual knowledge. And we have to imbibe it, live it, and then we'll be naturally excited to give it to others. If we're not really living it, then, you know, I'm a closet Hare Krishna. When nobody's looking, I chant my rounds. But when I go out in the world, I'm just like everybody else. You know, that's all right, it may be a phase that some of us have to go through, or many of us have gone through. But we have to come to the point where we realize what we have, this jewel of Krishna consciousness, that is really the panacea, the solution for all the problems in the world. It sounds like you guys are really puffed up. You have the solution for... Yes, we have the solution for all the problems in the world. Because we know, we can see the big picture. We're not looking at just, you know, the problems caused by environmental this or meat eating or interracial. We're seeing the big picture. Why this whole material world was created and how to get out of it. We're seeing the big picture. So all your little problems become solved when you take the Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada would say, this is the blacksmith method. said, all these other paths that you can follow, like goldsmith. You sit down with a little hammer, ting, 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 ting. But the blacksmith is, wham! So this is Krishna consciousness. Wham! With one blow of the Krishna conscious anvil, Krishna, you solve all problems, all the social problems, all the economic problems, everything solved. If not even everybody, if just a significant percentage of the population will take the Krishna consciousness, a lot of this, because they don't see that the things that are happening are karmic reaction. And it's just like in the past, it used to be if you inherited your parents' money, then you also inherited their debt. Nowadays, it's not like that anymore. You can take your parents' money and the debt, you know, goes to whatever, who cares. But it wasn't like that. It was in the past, if you inherited money from your father, then if your father had any debt, you also inherited that. You can't separate them. So it's the same thing. People who are living on a very high standard based on the parents' good karma, they have to also take the baggage that comes with that, the karma that comes with it. So a lot of people made their money in a lot of illegal ways. There used to be a phrase in America, the robber barons, the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, these people who made millions and millions of dollars in illicit ways, through alcohol or cutting down so much of the country. Why did it belong to them? It didn't. It belongs to God. What gives one family the right to cut down millions of acres of trees and make millions of dollars that way? They don't have any such right. But they gave themselves the right. You see? And the ordinary persons couldn't do anything about it. So we should see, it's not about this family against that family, or this race against that race, or this sex against that sex. It's our own worst enemy is our own uncontrolled mind, as Prahlad Maharaj says. So by this process of Krishna consciousness, we learn to control the mind. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samavita citosha sukadukeshu tata mana pamanayo. That if you control your mind, the very first installment that you get is you become prashanta, you become peaceful. You're no longer agitated by all the vicissitudes, the ups and downs of this material world, which you can't stop anyway. Just like going down to the Pacific Ocean, you can't stop the waves from coming in. But if you're a fish in the ocean, it doesn't disturb you. You know, we go down to the ocean and a little wave comes in, bam, we get battered. But a little fish, no problem at all, no anxiety. So it's like that. When we become self-realized, when we control our minds, we can swim through all the problems of this material world with no problem at all. Not at all disturbed. Today is the disappearance of Shyamananda Prabhu. So his parents, every time they had a child would die. And they would, when they finally had him, they were so down, they named him Dukhi. Dukhi means miserable. Because at that point, they were thinking that he's going to die also. Dukhi. So he became known as Dukhi Krishna. But then after he got initiated, it's a long story, but he had some contact with Radharani, and she touched him. He got this different style of tila from everybody else. And even his guru was asking, Hridai Chaitanya was asking, where do you get this type of tila from? Never seen that. So he became renamed as Shyamananda. And he is the person who installed the Shyamasundar deity in Vrindavan. So in this way, Prabhupada has given us a whole program, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're a little bit stifled now because of the pandemic, but it doesn't mean that we are silenced. We can still interact online. We can try to distribute books online. Again, as we go out in the world, we can meet people and on a one-to-one basis, try to inject some Krishna consciousness in their lives. And in this week, please, Guru and Krishna, and qualify ourselves to go back to home, back to Godhead. Granta Rashtriya Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Thank you, Abhay. It's first canto, chapter 2, starting with text 17.
17.
Yeah, 17 is Srimatam Shakata Krishna, and then the next one is